Good morning. How is everybody this morning? So we had the unofficial start of fall right after Labor Day, right? And then we had the official start of fall, which happens like the third week of September. And then we had the last two nights, which really should all have all of us saying, fall is finally here. I hope you weren't too cold, and that when you turned on your furnace, that it actually came on. And if it didn't, I can recommend some people to come and look at it. But we're glad you're here this morning, and you might have picked up that we've thrown you another curve. This Sunday is different from the past few Sundays that we've had, because I wasn't up here at all. We finished our worship time together, and well, now I'm up here, but remarkably, I'm not going to be up here the whole time. Well, I will be, but well, you just have to wait and see. Things are going to be a little different this morning. It's Be the Church Sunday. And we have that at Be the Church Sunday, for those of you who don't know, happens any month that there's a fifth Sunday. Any month that has five Sundays in it, the last Sunday, that fifth Sunday, is Be the Church Sunday. And we change things up a little bit on Be the Church Sunday. And there was some discussion among the elders as to what we would focus on this time. We focused on missions. We've focused on community things, and yes, and we focused on getting a microphone for, well, that's part of the surprise. Thank you. This particular month, this is the last one that we'll have this year. This month, we wanted to focus on life groups, and I'm going to be unashamed in saying this, barefaced as I can, we are going to try to coerce you into going to life group if you don't go to life group, and into being part of a life group. And so we're going to have some folks come up and share with you some of their experiences in being in life group. I have conversations with folks sometimes, and I ask them, have you ever attended would you consider attending life group or becoming part of a life group? If we could get you an invitation into one of these secret groups, would you actually go? And they always say the same thing, or a lot of them say the same thing, no, I would never go to life group. Okay, why wouldn't you go to life group? Well, because of what happens in life group. Which I used to be surprised when I heard that. I'm not anymore, because I'm pretty sure what's coming next. But then I'll ask, why? What happens in life group? What is it that I'm not, why am I not informed of this? You know, what happens in, they say, you like sit in a circle, and they require you to bare your heart and soul and talk about all the mess in your life, and then we all cry together, and then you agree that there's nothing you can do about it, and life stinks, and then you go home. I said, well, sometimes we close in prayer, you know. No, I and every time I hear that, I think the same thing. Yuck. Yuck. I mean, actually, what you've described, there are meetings that happen like that, if that's the way you're describing life group. There are meetings that happen like that, but they always begin with you saying, or me saying, hello, my name is Jay Jackson, and I'm an alcoholic. That's how that goes. Those are the people that sit and do that. That isn't something, that isn't the way we structure life group, not at all. I remember when my brain clears after having that conversation that life group is something that I've really come to enjoy. Life group is something that ministers to me. Life group is something that speaks to me. And the people that are part of the life group that we're part of, there's a sense of family there that doesn't happen here on Sunday morning, because there's just too many of you to have any sense of family with this extended group of people. But we thought that probably the best use of this time that we could have for this morning would be to help you to understand what happens in life group, just in case you're in that group of people that thinks you know what happens in life group, even though you've never actually attended. That's very mystical. That's way too mystical for me, that you would know what happens in life group, even though you've never been there. But the question that we had was, how could we do that? Well, we could talk about the philosophy of life group. I could stand up here and, hold forth on the philosophy of life group. Or we could talk about the format of life group. Because in life group, it's no secret, in life group we have welcome, and then we have worship, and then we have word, and then we have work. And Doesn't that make you want to go? See, I knew that going into philosophy or format really wasn't going to be that helpful. And so we started to look for a fresh way to get this across to you, to help you to understand, because we don't want it to be stale. Anything that's stale right out of the package is something that I don't want to be involved with. We take that back to Walmart, or we throw it away when we discover that it's stale right out of the package. And so we were looking for a fresh way. And there's a group of people, you probably haven't noticed them because they don't glow in the dark any more than you do, but there's a group of people that are sitting right over there in the front row, and they're sitting there with intent. They're about to take on something that is terrifying. I don't know if you're aware of that. I've said this before, but I'll say it again just so you realize that the number two fear in the United States of America today, the second most common fear, the number two fear in the United States of America today is death. The number one fear is public speaking. Which means that if you're at the average funeral, people that go to a funeral would rather be in the casket than delivering the eulogy, which makes no sense to me. I really, you got to appreciate that about people, and that's the way we feel. And so I'm hoping that you will be somewhat encouraging for these folks that are about to take this most frightening and terrifying of all steps. But they're going to come up here, and they're going to share with us what Life Group is about, by telling us what Life Group has meant to them, so that you can experience with them what they've experienced. We've actually certified that these are people who attend Life Group, because I was afraid if they didn't attend, they'd just come up and say, you might come up and, well, you see, we sit in this circle, and then we have to bear our... No, we didn't want that happening. We wanted people that actually attend Life Group. I wonder how many of you would say, though, you don't do the circle thing and bearing your soul. I wonder how many of you would say this morning that, and I'm not asking for a show of hands. I'll set you free on that one, because I know there's only three of you that ever raise your hand no matter what I ask. I wonder how many of you would say the reason I don't go to Life Group is because I don't know anybody here at church. You know, you're asking me to step into this like family thing, but I don't really know anybody here at church. And sometimes people in church don't know each other because, well, here's where you sit every week. I recognize you people as my left side people over there. I don't know if that makes you liberal until I turn this way, but, you know, that would make you more conservative, because then you get to be you're saying I sit over here because this is the right side. Oh, okay, I won't argue with you about that. But the people that sit over there rarely have anything to do with the people that sit over here. Have you noticed that? I mean, you look over there at those people. They're all strange. I mean, strangers. They're all strangers. You don't recognize them. And that's what I love that about church. We have this invitation. Would all the first-timers raise their hands so that we can recognize them? And the first-timers raise their hand, and I never recognize them. I think that's built into being a first-timer. But I don't mean to hold forth here. I'm just saying that maybe you don't go to small group or to life group because you don't know anybody here at church. I think the problem is that at church, we sit shoulder to shoulder and listen instead of standing face-to-face and interacting. There's a big difference between those two things. We don't necessarily sit shoulder to shoulder in life group. We do sit face to face, and we have real conversations with someone else. Lindsay Funk has something to say this morning about the difference it makes when you have a chance to talk with someone face to face and get to know them. You might be surprised at how much of a difference that can make in your experience here at church.
Thank you, Jay. Wow, it's a little bit different being up on this side. I'm not going to lie. I'm scared to death right now. So, and Jay, I don't know what kind of life group you go to, but it sounds dark and scary. So, okay. But I'm here to tell you that life group is not like that at all. And I can't think of a better thing to call this concept than life group. It's a group of friends. It's a group that becomes your family, and you literally do life with these people. My family and I have been coming to Potter's House, it's almost 2 years now, and I would get tired of coming and sitting every Sunday, and then it's like as soon as Jay goes, ready, break, we're breaking for the doors. Everybody leaves, you know. It's hard to meet people when everybody's rushing for the door, you know, and you're scared to just walk up to somebody and say, hey, you know, my name's Lindsay, who are you? So I think that Life Group has helped me definitely meet new people in the church. Probably a year ago at this time, I used to sit in church and be like, oh, not another plug for Life Group. I don't want to listen to this again. I'm not interested. That's because I didn't know what it was. And then I got an invitation to come last year to New Year's Eve to the Mixer. I don't know how many people went to that last year. We played the games and rang in the New Year together. And it was a time of food and fun and fellowship. And it was so fun. And I witnessed one of the most cutthroat, hardcore Scrabble games I've ever seen in my life. I don't know who was here for, I don't even remember who won that game, but it was hilarious. Everyone was laughing, having a great time together, and I didn't feel like a stranger anymore. So that was kind of my turning point when I decided, hey, yeah, let's check this out. I want to do Life Group. So we joined a small group, and the people that are in our group, I have become so close to. There's so many different aspects you could talk to about somebody about Life Group. It's about the scripture, it's about the family, but I think what hits me most is I'm with a group of people now that understand me. I'm not afraid to share, and I don't have to share. You know, I look forward to Tuesday nights and going, and some nights I feel led to share what's on my heart, and other nights I just kind of sit to the side, and that's okay. You know, there's nothing that says you have to talk. You don't have to talk. You share what you want to share. But it's always a group that's there for each other. You know, we come together on Tuesdays and we laugh together. And then there's times when we grieve together. And I wouldn't have had that before I joined Life Group. It's hard to describe until you experience it. So what I guess I really want to say is if there's anybody out there today that's kind of sitting on the fence about Life Group and, well, yeah, that kind of sounds interesting, but I don't know, how do I do this? How do I go about this? I hope that you will stay today and play. We've got games, we've got food. Just come up to somebody. Any one of these people that are going to be sharing today, come and find me. You know, I'm pretty easy to spot. So say, hey, how do I do this Life Group thing? And we'll find somebody that can help. And if not, you can always join our Life Group. We're looking for people.
Okay, so you get to meet other people, and you get to be part of this kind of family thing of sorts, but you might be sitting there thinking, well, I can do that at any party, right? We can have a dinner party at our house, or we can have a Halloween party, and you don't get to meet people at a Halloween party because they all have masks on, but we could do that at a dinner party. And so Bill Smith is going to come up and share with us some things about one of the key components of Life Group. And that's the opportunity that we have to get down and dirty with God's Word, to drill down into it and discover the things that can transform a life. Bill.
Thank you. A few years ago, my wife said, let's go to a Life Group one night. I used to be one of those people, and I said, I'm not sure about that. But we went, and I discovered that I really enjoyed it. It became part of my life. I really look forward to Wednesday nights now. You know, we get a chance to sit around with a group of people and fellowship and to talk about God, to talk about, you know, our week, how it goes, the good, the bad. But mostly, we have a lot of fun. You know, everybody that really knows me, I'm a joker. I like to have fun. I like to look at the brighter side of things. But, you know, we do take an opportunity to dig deep, and we get to do it as a family now, because that's really what we are. We get to go through God's Word together. Sometimes when we sit at church and we hear something, and then later my wife says, what was that he said? Well, Wednesday night we get to dig into that, and we get to learn it together as a family. We've started doing different things as a Life Group to make it more convenient, more easy. A lot of times, you know, we do Wednesday night at 6:30 at our house, and it's kind of hard for everybody to go home and eat and hurry up and get to their house, so we just start having dinner at our house to make it easier. We kind of plan the week before, what does everybody want to have? So we'll make a dinner menu, and everybody brings something, and potluck, and we have dinner. And then we get into God's Word. We take that time to just open up, to find new ways to reach people. We've started recently. We all probably do it at some point in time or another when we go through this week. We come home, we dig our change out of our pockets, and we throw it in a jar or do something. So we as a life group start doing that for us. We have a basket that we set on our table. Our change goes into the basket every week. So at the end of the month, we come through and we decide, what are we going to do with that? We're going to help with the food pantry. We're going to help with something else to give back to the community, to give back to our church. Life group has changed me for sure. I know it's changed my family. It's hard to put into word what it has done, really. But I know that I wouldn't have it any other way. God has blessed our family. I think God would bless this church for having Life Group and to getting groups of people in together to study God's Word. Take the time this afternoon. Stay with us. Have dinner with us. Just come and ask. Ask the questions. You know, what is Life Group? Where can we get involved? Who has Life Groups on what night? It's easy. Come and just try, and I promise, I think you'll like it. You'll enjoy it, and you'll be a new family member to somebody. Thank you.
So life groups are in part about taking time in God's Word together, and in part they're about being a family together. Bearing one another's burdens, for sure, but laughing together at the same time. It happens. It happens. Kim Pierce wants to share with us, as we're on the theme here of family, Kim Pierce wants to share with us about, here's the deal. Sometimes life groups don't just create a sense of family, they create family. I'll let her explain. I think you probably do, unless you want to scream.
Well, I can't. Okay. Good morning. I am Kim Pierce, as Jay said, and I am a part of Dan and Sarah Alkire's small group. We meet on Sunday nights, and we have fun. We eat, and the usual things happen there, the discussion. The Holy Spirit shows up every time and shows me something just beyond the message that we have heard on Sunday morning, and I love that. But as Jay also said, Life Group has expanded my family. I'll take that back a little while. About 3.5 years ago, my daughter called me from college. And I know a lot of you know that I am Will's mom, because Will's very outgoing, but I'm also Kara's mom. And she called me one night to tell me that she did not want to be a Christian anymore. It was devastating. Now, God showed me through this to press on, like he said in his word. And within just a couple of months after this, my husband was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma. And he just walked in the door. So Kara immediately decided she would move home and come back when she heard that her dad was sick. So I had her here close by, and she would come to church with me some, but we were at that time a part of Chad and Katie's small group, and Kara would come with me there, and I could keep her going, and I could keep her close that way. Well, last fall, we were at our Chad and Katie's house at our life group, and this cute young man walks in, and he is redheaded, and I immediately see my grandchildren in the future, and he's carrying a pan of food because we're having a meal, and I've been married for 30 years, and I know the importance of that in a marriage, and I thought, oh, I wish Kara could meet him. So shortly after this, we split off, and we were bursting at the seams there at the Nugents, and we became part of Dan and Sarah's group. And this young man, his name's Nathan Brewer, also broke off and was in our group. Now, Will was working for the recruiter here in town, and Nathan was also recruited into the National Guard. And so Will had the opportunity to take him to St. Louis a couple of different times. And during that, they got a chance to know each other. And Will just happened to mention him one time, hey, you know, have you met my sister? And he said, yeah, she's cute. Well, shortly after this, they started talking at small group. The next thing we know, they're dating. And then they had to say goodbye for 5 months so he could go off to training for the Guard. So in September, I drove Kara all the way out to Fort Lee, Virginia, where he got on one knee on September 22nd, right after graduation, and asked her to marry him. 1 week later, on September 29th, our small group went out to Hahatonka, and Clark Brown married them. They have now moved to Kansas City, and she is going to be going to nursing school. But just a couple weeks before that, our small group got together with another small group, and Dina was there. And Dina said, I have a friend that goes to the greatest church up there that is near where you guys are going to live. And Nate and Kara are there this morning. So I have gained a new son-in-law and hopefully some future redheaded grandkids. But the most important thing is that it came from our connection with this church and from our small group. So I hope you all will consider joining. I know it can seem a little like we're in groups and we're clicked, but we're not. Everybody is open to meeting new people, and everyone is invited. So thank you.
You caught that, right? They were engaged one Friday. They were married the next Friday. The following Sunday, they were in church. We were all quite shocked to see them here. And I fully expected that the following week they would have a baby, just because, I don't know, we're accelerating this. We're just going to move this along. I'm hurting small group when I say that. Oh, okay, well, I'm just saying that it isn't always just creating a sense of family. Sometimes it actually does create family. That's it doesn't happen in all of the small groups, I'll admit that, but it did happen there, and well, what can I say? I know that one of the reasons that people give, it feels a little bit like an excuse, but I'm not really going to go there, but one of the reasons that people give for not going to small group is because, I suspect if I go to small group, there will be other people there. You know, because they pick up on that sort of thing right away. But I expect that there will be other people there, and I like my alone time. You know, I don't like being in a group. I really prefer to be alone. They try to avoid being with other people. And so Scott Songson is going to come up and talk for a few minutes about the fact that being part of a life group doesn't detract from the overall church experience where you get to be alone in a crowd of people. It actually adds to it.
Thanks, Jed. And remember, I was going to say all that. But
yo, go yeah. for it, man.
Anyway, my name's Scott Songs. My wife, Tammy, and I began coming to Potter's House about a year and a half ago. And then we bounced around a couple other life groups and got to meet other great people. And we did break off from the Nugents and went over to the Alkires. So that's been just right around a year or so. And anyway, so I got a text on Tuesday, right in the middle of, you know, busy work day, hectic stuff, and glanced at the group message and misread it. So if anybody's ever, you know, done that where you kind of look at something and you misunderstood what the intent was, I thought that since this was to be the church Sunday, that we would be asked to talk about service projects. Well, of course, like many of us, it's a lot easier to talk about areas that you serve and things that you're doing with your hands and that, it's kind of a self-righteous thing to a degree to sit there and go, okay, I did this and I serve in this area, but that's what my flesh, you know, jumped to when I volunteered to talk up here today. And then about a day later, you know, I reread it and got a message from Faith, and then I'm like, okay, wait a second, I'm supposed to actually talk about life change in being involved with life groups. And so, you know, that God kind of bamboozled me into being up here. Along with that, I thought there'd be at least a dozen, you know, people that would be up here speaking, so I'd be able to blend in. And then when I got here this morning, there's five of us. So, you know,
you don't blend in anywhere, Scott.
God had a cohort in the bamboozling. So, the first thing I was thinking was, okay, it's going to be easy to talk about life groups. You know, Tammy and I, have worked and served and attended other, you know, churches and Sunday schools, and many of them are, you know, have been in, you know, in church right after church or right before church service and things like that. And we, you know, it's easy to talk about how we enjoy the format of being in home and how that is cozy and there's always good food, good discussion, lots of laughs, and things like that. But, you know, God kind of changed the direction, you know, when I really started thinking about, you know, what he wanted me to talk about this morning. And so to kind of frame up what God put on my heart was, you know, we started thinking about, you know, well, yeah, it's easy to talk about service and going to help somebody move or, you know, repaint something or whatever. But, you know, God kind of had to trick me into this a little bit for me to just step back and take a look at what life groups, you know, really has meant for us while we've been here at Potter's House. So about a year ago, a year and a half ago, actually, our son was struggling in college and kind of in the world. And, you know, so we wanted to change things up and felt God's direction to do something different. And so we felt really comfortable to come over here to Potter's House. And again, we kind of bounced around in life groups. And we ended up with the Alkires. And about that time, Shane had made this independent decision to enlist active duty Navy, and so Tam and I were you know, excited about that, but also really nervous about it because we, our friends and family, we just didn't have a lot of people that served in the military. Well, stepping back and taking a look at things, you know, it's really amazing that within just our small life group, we have had, and this is all just in the last year since we've been there, we have had five sons that have gone off either to guard or active duty service. And we've had one daughter go through firefighter training, you know, which is, you know, a very dedicated, regimented process in itself. So, you know, it took this opportunity, I guess, for God to kind of get me to stop and think and go, you know, when you need me, I'm there, and I put people around you to support you, and that's you know, amazing to me, and I'm so thankful for how much he loves us to be able to do that through people in this church. And then on the lighter side, you know, one of the things I went ahead and had to share, and since I'm trying to stretch time out a little bit, is that, you know, again, we enjoy the format of the life groups. You know, again, always good food. We're able to, you know, take more time than when you have, let's say, you know, a scheduled block of time and it's right before church and things like that. You're not able to, you know, break off and really dive into some things and really get to even know each other on a deeper level. So we've enjoyed that. And, you know, we are really pretty deeply connected. And it's good to get to share each other's praises and burdens. And a lot of times we do that, you know, with texting, which, you know, as you get older, you know, there's, you know, a learning curve in that. Like I already said, I already, you know, messed up this week in misreading a text. But anyway, so sort of like going with Jay and the team a few years ago to learn just a little bit about the Bukalo language, I through our life group, I've had to sort of learn emoji language, which is a new thing to me. For a while, I kidded that I was going to put an emoji blocker on my phone to try to filter out, you know, just the stuff that I can understand. So. Anyway, but we enjoy our time together. The other one of the last evenings here, you know, in the fall, we were sitting out at the Alkires, and as we're diving into God's word and what the message was, it was funny because God would like randomly be dropping walnuts out of the tree right around us, you know, and we're all like kind of ducking and dodging as God's kind of emphasizing a certain point that He was trying to get through to us. By near misses with walnuts. So always a good time, and maybe not always so dangerous like that. But anyway, so hopefully, you know, through, you know, God opening my eyes just through this opportunity this morning, I've, you know, can encourage some of you guys to see what God has to open your eyes about through life groups. So thanks for your time.
So, join a life group, learn a new language. I mean, who knew? That would be. How many of you speak emoji? Do you? Anybody here that? The same three people that do everything else. I'm amazed at you three. That is way cool. There are several kids that are part of the life group that Faith and I attend. When we first started attending this group, they ranged from about 8 years old. To, I think, 15 or so. Now they range from, is it two? And one on the way to all the way up to, 18 or more. It's been a privilege to watch these kids grow. Remarkably, they're part of the life group. They don't go off and play somewhere. They actually join in the conversation, and in fact, they actually lead the conversation in most cases. I've gotten insights from these little kids as they've grown, and there's been a special thing that God has done for us in the course of that. I think most of you know that our children are all overseas, and that means that our grandchildren are there with them, and that's exactly where we want them to be, in the center of God's will, and in a place where they can learn Christ and experience Him. God has done something remarkable in the context of the life group, and He's given us replacement grandchildren for the ones that we miss so much. Bailey Bowles is going to come up. She's one of those granddaughter kind of people to us. We've loved watching her grow up and fill the role that God assigned to her, at least in our lives in these days, and she's going to talk about what life group has meant to her.
Hey, I'm Bailey Bowles. Oh, I'm a little bit shaky, so if I throw this, I'm sorry. My name's Bailey Bowles, as Jay said. I've been going to my life group since I was about 14 years old. My first time at life group, wow, that was a long time ago. About 4 years, because I'm 18 right now. So I noticed that there were adults, but their children were also there, as you might expect. I was just really surprised whenever group started, you know, after everybody was done pigging out in the kitchen, which is another one of my favorite parts of life group. But the kids stayed in the same room as the adults, which I think is really awesome. the adults wanted to know our opinion. They wanted to know how we felt, and that can make a kid feel really important. Ever since then, we quickly became friends with everyone there, and we became like a really, really close family. Not everyone in my life group right now has been going as long as I have, maybe just a few months or a couple weeks, but they have quickly become a part of our family, and I think that's really awesome. It really doesn't take long. But besides the family atmosphere and the food, another main focus of life group is talking about the message. Jay does a great job as chief storyteller, but we'll always have questions. Life group is a great place to ask them or to just come and talk about any questions you had during the message. My family will find ourselves during church taking note of something that Jay said, like, I don't know, we'll just be like, wow, we really need to discuss this later. I wonder what they're going to think about this. This is really cool. So it's definitely a place where you can feel comfortable about sharing your thoughts and feelings on the message or anything, really. Life group is also another way to get out and be the church. At the end of Jay's message, he goes, ready, break. Because when he's encouraging us and we're learning more about the Lord, that's the huddle we're discussing the play. When we're out in the world, that's when the game starts. As a life group, we play the game. We do not sit on the bench. It's just an amazing feeling to be out in the community, being able to bless others, but it's even better when they end up blessing you right back. So I would really encourage you to join a life group. That's all I had to say. Thank you.
Okay, I admit it, sometimes we cry together. Bailey's going away to college next semester, and that's just going to be hard on the whole group. I'm sure of that. I don't know how many of you know Sean and Andrea Walters and are aware that Sean passed away. It's coming up on 2 years, maybe 2 years in March, since when Sean passed away. The reason that I'm bringing that up is that they've recently moved to Texas, Andrea and Mia and Sophia, her two daughters. And we've been down there, Faith and I have been down there to visit. As they were getting ready to go, they were living in a house just down five here. Andrea was in the habit every week of insisting that we have small group at her house. That was clearly important to her. You know, small group had to be at her house while she was here. The moment came when it was obvious to everyone that it was time for them to move to Texas. They prayed about it and made plans for that, and so packing began. And while Mia was in the Philippines on the trip this past summer, Andrea sold the house and tried to sell the house, but bought a house down there in Texas. And well, the move was afoot as soon as we got back. And the day finally came when everything was packed up and the trailer, the truck and trailer were leaving. She was pulling out of her driveway there. There were tears and hugs all around. We were walking through that house there. Sean had actually passed away at home. And the house was a... It was not the same after Sean was gone as it was before. And as we wandered around the house from room to room, Andrea stopped at one point and made the comment and said, you know, the only really happy times we've had in this house since Sean has passed is when Life Group is here and we're a family together. Which was important to me. That was profoundly powerful, poignant in my life. So we do have those moments when we cry together and we hug one another and we try to be supportive, and we have other moments that are much more lighthearted. Bailey mentioned being out in the community, and one of the things that we did a couple weeks ago is we went to Lake Living there, Lake Park. Lake Park Senior Living, thank you. I always forget the park. I don't know why, because it's a beautiful place. We went to Lake Park Senior Living and just spent the afternoon with the older folks that are gathered there. But part of the thing that made it special for me is that Andy and Bethany's our daughter, Andy's our son-in-law, and their three kids have been attending life group while they've been here. And they've joined our life group, and they're gone now in New York this Sunday morning and on their way down to Florida, and won't be long before they head back to the field. But we were part of this. They went with us to this, and Eli was just so excited because he wanted to find out who he's 11, and he wanted to find out who the oldest person there is so that he could talk to the oldest person there. And he was surprised to find out how old all of them were, never mind the oldest person there. And so there were conversations going on, and we spent the whole afternoon there not able to find Eli. We just never knew where he was going to turn up. He was off having conversations. Well, he was watching a game of some sort with one lady there. She was in her room, and you know, we walked by, and we could see in there with the door open. She's sitting there watching the TV, and he's watching the TV, and they're talking back and forth over the game. And then that night, we got together as a family, and we talked about the experience, and he was very clear. He had had more fun doing that than anything he had done in a very, very long time. And he's been to Silver Dollar City, I'm just saying. But I said to him, what were you and that lady talking about? And he said, well, we were talking about Halloween. I said, you're talking about Halloween. And what'd you say about Halloween? She asked me what I was going to be for Halloween. So I told her I was going to be a stormtrooper. And then she said to me, do you want to know what I'm going to be for Halloween? Yeah, he says. I'm going to dress up like an old lady. That's what she said to him. Do you think I can make people think that I'm an old lady? Eli was quick to point out, yeah, I think you can pull it off. You have what it takes. You're probably better at being an old lady than I am at being a stormtrooper. I'm just saying. I said we were going to try to coerce you. I just want to say that if you're not part of a life group, you're missing out. You're missing out on those moments when, you know, there's something to cry about. And being surrounded by people who are going to care about that. Instead of this, and forgive me for this, I love church, but this sterile environment where we sit shoulder to shoulder. And you probably don't know, let alone the person on the other side of the church, you may not even know the people that are in the pew there with you. So there are those moments when I go with a burden, or I go with a heavy heart, and it's just nice to be surrounded by people, listen to me, not just people that I love, but people that I am convinced love me. That's a powerful thing. On those moments when I'm not even sure I can voice what's going on in my heart, I just need somebody to care. Life group provides that. There are those other moments when you sit and I'm absolutely confident that over the course of this past year, the strongest laugh, the heartiest laugh that I've had with a group of people was one night playing a game in life group at our house. And I won't tell you the story. It's one of those, you had to be there, you know, kind of a thing. But there are opportunities that you are missing out on by not being part of life group. And I don't want to beat you up. I don't want to say you should go. We don't do that at the Potter's House. We don't connect going to life group with going to heaven. That would be easy, right? If you don't go to life group, you don't get to go to heaven. I think we'd all go, right? But that is absolutely untrue. Christ died for you, he was buried, and he rose again for you. And because of what he has done for you, as you trust that finished work, you're on your way to heaven. So you get to go to heaven even if you don't go to life group. Is that good news? But you get to go to heaven having missed out on a lot of things that you could have. So we're going to have this big gathering out there. And I'm supposed to pray and thank God for the food. The ladies that are going to be preparing it are actually sitting tight. They're sitting still. They're right in your midst, these secret people, these phantoms that actually produce all the food fairies. They're going to go when we say amen, and so it's going to take 10 minutes or so, maybe even as much as 15 minutes to have the food all ready for you to eat. And I'm wondering if there would be a reasonable way to spend those 15 minutes. It's just a suggestion, but you might walk up to somebody that you don't know and say, hey, my name is, well, I was going to say my name is Jay, but you don't say that because that's, unless that's your name. Hey, my name is, and who are you, and where are you from? That'd be one thing that you could do. Another thing that you could do is look for somebody that's in a life group. Ask when their life group meets. Ask if you can be part of it. Just hint around that you'd like an invitation. You might get one. I don't know. But the time out there together is a time for us to be the church. You've heard me say it before. At the Potter's House, we don't go to church. And so I'm encouraging you, don't go to church. Be the church. Thank you, Beth. Beth, don't go to church. Be the church. This afternoon is an opportunity for that. And so would you stand with me in the presence? Father and our God, we bless your name today for all of the kindness that you show us. Thank you for knowing us so well and for surrounding our hearts with your Spirit as you live within us. Thank you for the way that you anticipate our needs. Thank you for the way that you answer our prayer before we make our requests, that you give to us before we even know that we need. And thank you for surrounding us with people that not only love you, but love us. And God, my prayer for everyone in this room this morning would be that they would be part of a group where they can experience that give and take of love and concern and compassion. God, we all need that. We all need to see you tangible. We all need to experience Jesus with skin on. So we pray that you'd be at work in our hearts. Thank you for the food that's been provided, God. We're just going to, as soon as it's ready, we're going to jump right in, and we want you to know that we're thankful for the way that you provide for us. So God, watch over us this week, and I pray for everyone here that you would prompt them to be involved with this thing that can change lives for the glory of the Lord Jesus who died for us, for the good of those that surround us. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. So is the play clear? All right, we've huddled up. We're heading out, and I know some of you are going to break for the door. I get that. You may have other commitments. That's what we'll tell ourselves. But for the rest of you, we're going to be suspicious if you just go heading out. There's food out there. Come on. Ready? Break. Go get them, Potter's House.